Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. And today, we have some very exciting time ahead of us because we're looking forward to talking to someone who is directly connected with our inner guidance. And that is something that is so important to us. And most of us, we just ignore it, or we decide maybe that's silly, and we'll talk ourselves out of it and kick ourselves for the rest of our lives over that we didn't listen. So I'm going to go straight into introducing our guest, who is Kathleen Kat. Canavas, I want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly. Canavas?
That's close enough, really. It's Greek, and I remember my parents, when I was first marrying my husband, saying, what's his last name? And I'd go, because I'd think cannabis that you smoke. And I thought, you know, if I introduce him like that, they're never going to like him. But it's cannabis, like cannabis, but with a V.
Okay.
So you did a really good job. Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. That's a mouthful.
Okay, so can we just call you Kat?
Yes, please do.
Well, I'm tremendously fascinated with your work, and I can't wait for you to tell your story. How in the world did you start out? I'm sure you weren't from the very beginning doing what you're doing now, but where were you going when you started?
Well, where I was going when I started was being a very pampered, very spoiled wife to one of the best men in the world. My husband, fortunately, my husband just adored me. And so after we got married, I continued to work as a special ed teacher with the profoundly emotionally disturbed for about 5 years. I always joke about that, Mary, and say it was really good training for marriage. But, you know, about 5 years.
Yes.
About 5 years into the marriage, my husband was a real estate developer. At that time, he's now retired, and when I would have my vacations from teaching, it would be at his most important time for building.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
Then when he would have his times off, I'd be in the classroom, and let's face it, Mary, you cannot get a substitute teacher for a classroom full of special ed students. It's really hard. You have to kind of farm them out to other classrooms or whatever, divide them up, because they can they can be quite the little pack. So my
sure
husband said, look, I'll pay you more to stay home and just travel with me and basically be my personal secretary. And I said, done. And although I missed my children and I missed that independence, and in fact, it took me a full year to really give my resignation, because the school board said, look, Kat, we know you. We know you're not going to be able to do this, even though you think you want to. So you take a year off. We're not going to file your resignation. And we'll talk to you next September and see if you want to come back. And if you do, you can come back immediately. We're just going to hold this. But, you know, my husband, traveling with him, I realized I'd gone into another phase in my life. And so I never really looked back. So to get back to your question of where I was traveling around the world, doing whatever I wanted to do, staying in the best hotels, playing tennis on tennis teams, scuba diving all over the islands, horseback riding through the mountains, and skiing in Europe. So that's where it started.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then it's moved into the X-rated scene. I was in the tub with my husband one night. We were in the bathtub together watching TV. We've got this huge TV right on top of the tub. And he said, yeah, I told you, I warned you, we're going into the X-rated part now. And he said, you know, what is this over here? And as soon as he touched it, there was this little teeny tiny, like, not even the size of a pea. It's kind of a hard spot. And I remember having these nightmares for for the past two or 3 weeks where a spirit guide dressed like a monk would walk into my dreams. Just walk into it. And they would walk in through a pop-up window in the dream, like a pop-up on your computer, Mary, that you know you can't get rid of. You keep pounding on that little X, and it just won't go away. Yeah. And they would say to me, you have breast cancer. Go back to your doctor. And the reason they were saying that is because I had just had an my mammogram done, my yearly mammogram with the blood test and the physical exam, and my doctors told me I was healthy and to go home. And I started having these dreams and these pop-ups, and I wasn't paying a lot of attention to them like we normally don't, right? But then the next level came in where my husband said, what is this? And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go, I think I might go back to, maybe I'll go back to the doctor, you know, whenever. And that night, I had the pop-up again, and because I'd had the pop-ups before and my husband validating it, the next pop-up was really profound. I paid attention to it, this lucid dream. I'm going, I know I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming of the pop-up window again. I know I'm dreaming of the guide coming through telling me I have cancer, and I'm going to go back to my doctor tomorrow. So I did. I returned, and I said, I know something's wrong. So to make a long story short, I ended up going back to the doctor three times, getting three more mammograms, three more blood tests, three more physicals, and they still kept saying, you're healthy, go home. And then I had a really interesting pop-up where when my guide, dressed as the monk, and I have no idea why, Mary, they're dressed as monks. I have other friends who say, well, my guide has red hair and a beard, and he wears a little duffer cap. And another guide says, another person says, well, my guide looks like a little Asian man. Well, mine looks like a monk. I have no idea why. There's really no connection there that I'm aware of. But he said,
I'm getting chills on that. Yeah,
I had to have been responsible in some way, and I don't know what it is. But as soon as I saw him, I started crying in the dream. And I said, I know why you're here, and I don't know what to do. My doctors aren't listening to me. Help me. Mm-hmm. If I do have breast cancer, help me. Do something. And the monk reached into his pocket, took out a feather, a little dinky feather that you would see on the floor that would fall out of your pillow. And he handed it to me and he said, this is an angel feather. You go back to your doctor tomorrow without an appointment. And you verbally fence with him using this feather. And you tell him you need exploratory surgery because that is the only thing that's going to find this. So I grab my poor husband by the hand, and I drag him back to the doctor again for the fourth time. So we're going from Cape Cod to Boston, which is an hour and a half drive. Again. And my doctor looks at me in the waiting room and says, why are you back? And I said exactly what my monk guide told me to say in the dream. And my doctor looked at me like he'd been shot, Mary, and he said, I can't do exploratory surgery on you. It's against my policy, hospital policy. I'm not going to be able to do that, no. And I imagined that feather in my hand then. And I said, you have to help me. I don't know where else to go. Prove me wrong. And it was like a vampire walked into the room, Mary, and just glamoured him. And he looked at me and he said, okay. And I thought, oh, my God, did you just say okay? And he got me the appointment. At the pathology report came back, and he came into my recovery room, and he said pathology didn't like what they saw when they cut open this little tumor that he found. Because when he said in the operating room, let's close her up, we got it all, I woke myself up out of anesthesia. Scared the whole room. I turned my head and looked at him and said, what is it? And I remember the anesthesiologist coming over the top of my head and saying, did she just speak? And my doctor looked at me. All I could see were eyes. It was like it was a nightmare. There were bright lights in the room. I was in excruciating pain. And all I could see were eyeballs looking at me over masks. And I thought, oh, my God, is this another nightmare? Am I having another lucid nightmare? And he said, we got it. It's what we thought it might be, a fibristic tumor. Go back to sleep. But now I'm in the recovery room, and he comes in and says, pathology didn't like what they saw. And so I have to refer you to a specialist. And I said, is it breast cancer? And he said, I'm sorry, yes. So pathology report validated my dream, which proved I had the breast cancer, and it all came from a spirit guide. That was
fantastic.
A long one, I know. I'm sorry, I just rambled on there.
No, listen, you have to tell this story, because there are people out there that need to hear this, because we are trained to poo-poo all of this and say, this is silly. Why am I thinking about this? And this, if people would just listen and hear someone like you, it might save their lives. So go.
Well, you know, on that note, Mary, your next part of where you are now, I don't have time to play on the tennis team anymore. Occasionally, I get a game in with my friends. Like, they came to the door yesterday, and they said, we try to call you on the phone. The phone's always busy. You're not answering the other phone, and that's because I'm usually on a radio show. So we've marched over here, and you're going to play tennis with us on Monday. We're going to take you out and celebrate. And I said, what are we celebrating? And they said, seeing you again. You know, I'm on the speakers circuit.
Yeah.
And I spend all of my time trying to spread the word that as women, we have female intuition. It's an innate gift God gave us. And we not only use it to keep our children safe. We know when that bus has run off the road. We know it. It's just like our heart jumps into our throat and we get these chills and we go, oh my goodness, Johnny's in trouble. And we go looking for Johnny, and we're amazed when we find him. We jump in the car. We don't know where we're going, but we end up right beside the bus. Everybody's fine, and the kids are in the back, you know, playing patty cake or whatever, but we found Johnny without a GPS because we have the inner one. And unfortunately, when we don't listen to that inner guidance, that innate inner guidance, that gift from God, when it comes to us, Johnny misses out when mommy doesn't survive because mommy didn't listen. Now Johnny's got to go through life with mommy just guiding him on the other side, but wouldn't it be so much better if mommy was here? And the reason I say that, Mary, is because I'm an RA Block Cancer Foundation hotline counselor, and they give me some of the most difficult cases because most of them are recurrent cases. And I'm a stage 4 recurrence survivor because, again, I listened to the inner guidance when the doctors told me I was healthy to go home, and I threw an absolute temper tantrum in their waiting room to get an MRI that they told me, you know, I wasn't privy to because I had no symptoms and I was healthy, and I had the best doctors watching me. And it's not to say anything bad about the doctors. I'm not. They have to stay within the parameters of hospital policy. And
they
are trained. And so I threw a temper tantrum and said, you're going to have to drag me out of here by security, by my feet, because I'm not leaving until I get that appointment. And I was in stage 4. So the Block Cancer Foundation gives me these difficult women. And I got to tell you, Mary, 9 times out of 10, they say, I knew it was back. I knew something was wrong. But the doctors told me I was okay to come back in 6 months, and now I'm dying. And I always tell them, no, you're not. We're all dying. From the moment we're born, we're all dying.
Of course.
But that doesn't mean you need to die sooner than you're supposed to, because we have a destiny. So, yes, we do need to listen to that.
So you say you're 3 times cancer survivor. And that one time is a miracle, but 3 times, this is amazing. So how did this happen to you again? When they got it all.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's interesting because my breast cancer was hormone receptive. That means that it responded to estrogen. Estrogen basically fed it. And one of the things that they give you at the end of your treatments is a drug called tamoxifen. And they say that when you take this, it actually eats the estrogen in your body. It will put you into early menopause. But it keeps other estrogen-receptive tumors from growing. And you take it for 5 years. Well, here's the kicker there, and this, I'm so glad you asked this question, Mary, because this is something that if you're listening right now, you need to listen very carefully. When you're on treatment or you've completed treatment and they're giving you all those blood tests and they've put you on to tamoxifen or any medication to eat the estrogen in your system to keep other estrogen receptive tumors from growing, when they're doing the blood test, you must ask them to test your estrogen levels because they won't. It's sort of like they're giving you drugs for high blood pressure and never testing your blood pressure, or drugs for diabetes, insulin for diabetes, but never testing your blood level, your sugar levels in your blood. They were giving me tamoxifen, but not testing my blood levels for estrogen. The tamoxifen stopped working over 2 years, which it often does. Oh. I started growing more tumors, or another big tumor. And because I was young, with dense breasts, again, they were using mammograms to check for recurrence. And guess what? They missed it. Mammograms are dangerous on so many levels. If you're young, they often miss tumors because your breasts are dense. If you do have cancer forming and they mash your breast down between those two plates, they can spread it.
Yes,
so
they can.
They missed it again, and the dreams started again. And it was right after my mammogram where I had been having the recurrent, the nightmares that were saying, your breast cancer is back. And I didn't want to hear it. Those are words that strike terror into your heart that you can't even imagine.
Of course they do.
And so I was ignoring them. But I went and got the mammogram. It was right after I'd had the checkup with my doctors. And I went and had the mammogram, and when I was reading the mammogram, my guides spoke to me in my ear when I was standing next to the doctor and said, tell the doctor to look right here. And it was in the other breast. And I said to the doctor, what about right here? And he said, that's not the breast that had cancer, Mrs. Canavis. You, this one did. You're healthy. You don't have cancer anywhere. Congratulations. Go home. And I went downstairs to radiology, to the chief of radiology, and I said, I need an MRI. And that's when he said, well, we can't give you one. I just talked to the doctor upstairs because he called down here. He thought you were heading down here. We think that you're just having anxiety attacks, which is perfectly normal. And so I went home. I did. I went home. And that night, I had a dream where my guides, dressed as monks, came into my dream and said, come with us. We have something to show you. And I stepped through that pop-up with them that had turned into a door. And inside that room between realms of neither the living nor the dead, but this is a place where you get information from both sides. There were other monks that had doctors' white coats over their robes.
Their habits.
And I looked at them and I thought, now that's weird. And there was another, like a female monk, like a Franciscan female monk. And I'm like, are there female monks? I remember asking myself that in the job. Are there female monks? And she had on a nurse's coat and a little nurse's hat, and she was holding my holding mammograms or mammography film in her hands. And she motioned to me to come forward, and I looked, and my name was printed in black letters on the bottom. And as soon as I got close to see my name, poof, all of the monks in the room turned into these huge clowns with the curly red hair and the big red noses and the big red shoes, and were laughing and rocking back and forth. And I screamed to myself in the dream, this is a nightmare, this is a nightmare, wake up. And I woke up, and I got it. The next day, I went back, dragging my poor husband behind me, went back to the doctors, and I said, I will have an MRI. I'm not leaving until I get it. So, you know, call security, drag me out by the heels of my feet. I'm going to be on Channel 2 News as I'm going out the front door on my cell phone on my back. And the doctor looked at me and said to his secretary, get her the appointment. And he said, I'll see you in a year, Kat. And he walked out the door. Well, it took me 4 months, 4 months to get the MRI. And we're not a socialist, you know, medical system.
Yeah,
4 months,
right.
I was in stage 4 with a 9x11 centimeter tumor.
Oh, my gosh.
Terminal. That's terminal.
Yeah.
That's like, that's off the chart. And the doctors were all scratching their heads, and I said so, and they said, well, we guess mammograms aren't your friend. I remember thinking to myself, you think? You think?
Really? Yeah.
So I ended up having that breast removed because there was no way to just do a lumpectomy. Uh-huh. My doctors were saying, well, we're just going to do a lumpectomy and radiation. And I'm like, you know, no, I want a double mastectomy. I'm done. And they said, well, we can't do that. We can't take the other breast off because we believe it's healthy because of the mammograms. I said, you don't know what's healthy with mammograms. So long story short, I ended up going to New York to different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And they really worked well with me. They did the double mastectomy, and that's when they found the third cancer in the other breast.
Okay.
And in my book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, I had had a dream where I was chasing three crabs down a hallway right after I had met my physician within named Dr. Jules. And I caught the three crabs and I put them in a container. I contained them. And that was the end of the dream. And so as soon as I got the pathology report, that was the third cancer, I said, there it is. I finally got it. I found that booger, and I contained it, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go on the road and tell other women.
Oh, my word. Kat, this is amazing in so many ways. It's amazing that you fought so hard and that you believed your guidance because that's where most of us fall down. We just let people talk us out of it, you know?
I know.
Especially
you're right,
if they have a degree. If they have a degree, you know? It's just
all those,
it's
those
just
capital
crazy
letters after their name. Yeah, I know. And you're so right, because I spoke with a woman when I was speaking at one of the conferences. A woman had read my book, and she came up to me and she said, I've traveled all the way from Texas to see you. She said, I wanted you to know that I knew something was wrong. And my doctors had done mammograms, and they told me I was healthy, and they weren't going to do any other tests, even though I kept requesting them. And she said, I turned to them, and I said, I stood in my power like you told me to. And I spoke my truth, and I said, okay, I am going to go somewhere else for a second test. And if it's positive, tell me now who I need to contact at your hospital for litigation. They gave her the MRI, and she did have the cancer.
Aha. Amazing.
She stood in that power, and she rattled that tree. And she said, I am not going to let hospital policy dictate to my life. And she got the test she needed.
That's amazing. Absolutely
and
amazing.
And I urge all the women listening to me, stand in your power. You know, you have that innate female intuition. And men, you've got it too. You're a combination of man and woman. Reach down inside you. Find that woman within. You know, that balance that gives you that soft side to you. And let her guide you with your intuition. Let her get a hold of you and take care of you. Because if you leave, you're going to be leaving your wife, your loved ones. And they want you to stay here.
That's right. And it's okay to call it hunches.
It is. You can call it anything you want as long as you follow it. You can call it, you know, they were guardian angels to me. Yeah, so they were dressed as monks, guardian angels, intuition, inner voice, gut instincts. Call it what you will. Doesn't matter. Just follow it. And look for the validation. That's the most important part. Look for the validation. You don't even have to look. It's going to hit you in the face. Mine came in pathology report. Many people get some kind of a report that says, yes, you were right. And if you're not,
yes, well,
you know what, Mary, if you're not, people say to me, well, what if you had been wrong? What is the worst that would have happened, Mary? They would have laughed at me. I can live with that. I'd rather live with my doctors laughing at me than die with them
exactly.
all crying with me.
Yes, yes, absolutely. There's no question about that. We've had 300 years of brainwashing that the doctors are the only ones that know what to do for us. And it isn't true. I mean, you know, I've gone into doctors and told them what I had, and they would say, "Well, we'll do some tests and we will find out what's wrong with you." And sometimes they come out with they're honest enough to be embarrassed and say, "Well, you have what you said you did." You know, and they just don't understand that we are inside there and feeling those feelings and knowing what's going on in our body. And they just don't get it.
Yeah, and some of them definitely don't, but I just got an email from one of my dear friends who's a doctor in New York, and she said, you know, she's really distressed. She's thinking of retiring early, and it's because the hospital policies have changed so much that the hospital and the care for the patient doesn't really focus on the patient anymore. It's all rules and regulations, and doctors are boxed in by them. They know they're not right, but there's nothing that they can do because the hospital will not back them up if they you know, do not stay within those policies. So many doctors, the ones that we need, the ones that listen, and this was one of the doctors in New York that listened to me, and she pulled together a team of amazing doctors who worked with me. Many of them were the doctors that worked on Jackie Kennedy Onassis.
Yeah.
Amazing doctors. And they're leaving the profession because of the changes that are happening in our medical system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so sad because we're left with the ones that have to turn their emotions off. They're like robotic, and they have to follow the hospital policy whether they know it or not. And here's another tip to everybody listening. At one point when my doctor said to me, well, yeah, you just have to take this Taxotere at the end or your cancer will come back, especially since this was stage 4. And I said, but I know it won't. I know that this is not going to work for me. It's just going to knock me down so low I can't get up. And he said, but you have to do that. And I looked at him and I said, you have to tell me honestly if you believe that. You have to remember that you took an oath before you signed up with this hospital for hospital policy. Now tell me the truth. And he said, he just sat there for a second and looked at me and he said, I can do no harm. I can't tell you have to take this. So I didn't take it. And that has been 11 years ago. It has not come back, and it's not going to. My dreams told me I would have 3. Why would I have 3? Because maybe I was lucky to find it in the dreams the first time. Okay, maybe I was super lucky to find it the second time, stage 4, and survive. But the third time, that's like winning the lottery 3 times in a row. Luck had nothing
Absolutely.
To do with it. It was divine intervention saying, you have a purpose on this earth. You just survived this. You take this flag and you take it out to the world. And you show them during this time where hospital policy can be a detriment, that they can rely on their intuition, know they're not alone, and know that they are born with guardian angels, spirit guides. You are their job, and they take that job seriously. Listen to them. Tap into your dreams.
Absolutely. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the doctors tapped into theirs?
That's a great point, Mary. Oh, my gosh. So anybody who's listening right now, if you go to my website today at www.accessyourinnerguide.com, you can download for free. Because you're listening on Mary's radio show, you can download for free 7 ways to access, awaken, and activate your inner guidance. And there will actually be a dream journal in there for you for free. You can download it and then just keep reproducing the pages, put it in a notebook, and start your dream journal and start listening to that inner guidance.
That's fantastic. That was going to be my next question. Tell me a little bit about how you work with people to help them get a clearer channel to their inner guides.
Well, one of the ways I do that is I first of all, I don't believe that anybody should sell anything unless they first give people a sample of what they can do. So I have a Dream 101 course that's on my website right now. But the little free gift that I just told you about that you can download, it's just a few pages, is like a little appetizer before the main meal. And so it has a little pre-test. I'm big on testing, and that's the teacher in me. I believe in pre-tests and post-tests. So you can see, no matter what you've done with me, how far you've come, where you started, where you ended. So I have a Dream Course 101 on my website. Mm-hmm. You can go there. You can download it. You can download it. And it will take you through all the steps of how to start to tap into your inner guidance, not just for your health, but also for your wealth. Who are the people who had dreams that there was going to be a big crash on Wall Street in 08? They pulled their money out. They didn't. The millionaires that didn't follow their dreams, that didn't listen to that intuition, that didn't follow that gut instinct, went from millionaires to middle class overnight. And the people who did, a lot of them, then followed their instincts and went from middle class to millionaires overnight. And relationships. How many times do you have dreams where you have somebody walking beside you going, you know that boy's just not right for you. He's a great guy, but he's not right for you. And you don't listen to that red flag. Or you've got a guide walking in front of you waving a red flag. You ignore it because you're so in love at the moment. And you can't see beyond that. And I always say, love is blind, deaf, and dumb. You know?
Yeah.
You're not listening to anything.
Sure.
So that's where you're tapping into your dreams can change your life and put you on the right course to health, wealth, and relationships for peace of mind and a fulfilled life.
Yes. So when what you're really saying is that the greatest help that is there for us, most of us are ignoring.
Yes. And it's so sad, Mary, because if you think about it, if you're listening right now, why are you here? Why are you on the earth? You're here for a reason. You have a purpose. You know, even if our parents told us we just happened in the backseat of that Ford, No, that was you know, just a way to get you here because nothing else was working. But no, you're here for a reason. You have a purpose. You are on the path to fulfill your destiny. And the way to stay on that path, because there are many forks in the road, is to stay in touch with your inner guidance. And the bigger your purpose is, the more likely you are to step off the path. Because I say that if you're here, you are a light worker. You have brought light into the earth plane. You're special. You're vibrating at a very high frequency. And great light is going to attract great moths. Now, I personally think moths are beautiful. But you have to be careful not to get distracted by them. Maybe swatting around at them and step off the path. And that's where your guides come in. Because they can throw up a shield around you so that the moths are still attracted to the light. But they're bouncing off the shield or they're sitting on the shield watching you. And maybe they'll start to glow from your light. But they won't distract you.
Yeah. I would love to hear about some of the results that you've had in working with people. And do you work mostly with women?
I work with men too. You know, men, I am so happy to say, I am so pleased, and my husband pointed this out, because we're together as much as we can be. We're, you know, we're connected, not just at the heart, but we're actually connected at the hip. And he goes to a lot of these conventions where I speak, and he'll say, you know, it used to be that at conventions like this, there would be a room full of women and me. He'd be the only man in the room. And now I'm so happy to say that I would say the room is full of 30% men and 80% women.
Wonderful.
And I believe that as we continue to connect with not just as women connect with their inner warrior, that bit of male warrior, that Conan the warrior within us to help us, our Xena warrior princess, men are connecting with their Xena warrior princess within them, and we're finding balance. And pretty soon those rooms are going to be 50-50, and I'm going to be so happy, and we're working toward that. I believe that we're coming to a point on our journey on this earth plane of finding that balance within. And my husband wrote the book Pope Annalisa while I was going through treatment, because, Mary, he quit working. He was making so much money. And he told the company, he said, I'm going to quit. And they said, no, don't quit. Stay home, just be, you know, available for phone conversations and meetings. Take care of your wife. Everything's going to be okay. So he stayed home with me, and because he's a type A personality, he was climbing the walls. While I was in bed curled up, you know, sicker than a dog, and he was bringing me scrambled eggs, and my cats were bringing me their cat food and putting it on my chest, which, oh, my God, that was awful. But everybody knew Mommy was sick. So he started writing a book that he'd had an idea for previous to that, Pope Annalisa, and it's now being he's in negotiations to have it made into a TV miniseries. But
oh, how wonderful!
In the book, this black nun from Africa becomes first pope of the Catholic Church to give the church balance. And that brings us back to, just as the men are coming into these events with women, so the women will soon be going into the events just for the gents.
Aha. Aha.
It's happening.
Fascinating.
And we're living to see it. Mm-hmm.
Oh wow! So your husband really evolved. Your cancer changed his life too, tremendously, and not for the worse.
Oh no, for the better. And I believe that anything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I really believe that. But there are a couple of tricks to moving on. First of all, you don't dwell in the pain. What you do is you focus on the positive to move forward. You get out of the victim mental image of yourself being hooked up to IVs and that perpetual patient, which is going to be my third book, How to Move Ahead,
because
so many of us are living through 2, 3, 4. I have a girlfriend who's been through cancer 5 times. And
oh my goodness.
You know, her message is, it doesn't have to kill you. And she holds herself up in front of women who are going, I'm going to die. Everybody's told me I can't survive this. And she's going, I've done it 5 times.
They're programming your subconscious. They are
That's
programming
right.
your subconscious, which then produces.
And unfortunately, my message, one of my strongest messages to any of you listening to this, if you're going through treatment, is you can survive it if that's what you focus on. You know, when you get that diagnosis that, yes, it's back, you've got recurrence, you did it before, you can do it again, resolve to survive. It doesn't mean that you failed. It doesn't mean the doctors failed. What it means is you've got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps again, and maybe your purpose is to prove to others that there's more than one way to skin a cancer.
Absolutely.
You know, I've had girlfriends who went back, found out that they had the cancer again, and actually had their doctors say, you know, once you get it, it doesn't matter if we find it when it's early or if it's really late, you're going to die. And I'm like, hello, they just found it. It's very early. They found mine very late. I'm still here. And yet that beloved girlfriend died. And so
yeah, because,
I say to the doctor,
because she had the prediction.
Don't plant seeds. Don't plant seeds like that in their mind. Tell them that there is always a chance, because the bottom line is they're practicing medicine. There are no absolutes with medicine because the body is amazing. And mind over matter, if you don't mind it, think about it, believe that something is negative, it won't matter. Manifest and become. So stay positive. Stay focused on the positive. Take the positive to the grave with you if that's where you're going. Why take the negative?
Very good.
Be the light.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I would love to hear about some of the individuals that you worked with and the way they changed and their attitude changed by your working with you.
Well, there's quite a few of them. I think I have three of them as testimonials on my website. So if you go to www.survivingcancerland.com, you'll get the ones that dealt more with illness. On accessyourinnerguide.com, they're more dealing with life issues. For instance, one woman that I helped, it was actually at an event. I do what I call a hot seat at an event. So if you go to my events page on my website, you'll see where I'm going to be all over the country, because I'm actually doing at least one event every single month for the next year. So I'm going to be in Minnesota in a couple of months. I'm going to be back on Cape Cod in May, where I'm going to be the keynote speaker for Cape Cod's first conference for women. I'm going to be talking everywhere. So you really have to go to my website to events to see where I'm going to be speaking next. And I have a hot seat up on the stage, and I invite the audience. This is impromptu. I don't know what they're going to say. And so a lot of people have said, you know, this is really dangerous because you have no idea where this is going. And I'll say to them, I trust my guides. My guides are going to talk to their guides, and their guides are going to speak to them. And we are going to have a very positive awakening on this stage. And I invite them to come up and talk about a dream that they have been having, whether it's recurrent, they can't work through, they think is a nightmare, because I believe a nightmare is a call to action. It's easy to forget a great dream, but a nightmare, you can't forget that. And it's a great message. It's a gift in disguise. And so I've had a woman come up on the stage and break down and talk about how her house had just burned down in the Colorado fires. She lost everything. Everything. Her whole past was ashes. And listen to the metaphor. I always tell people, look for the play on words. Ashes in the wind. What are we? We're nothing but ashes in the wind. We come from the ground. We return to the ground as ash, as ground. And she's crying, and she said, I've lost everything. And I keep having this recurrent dream where I'm up in the sky, and I see I have wet wings. I feel like I'm flying, and I'm looking down from as a bird's eye view on the footprint of my home, and it has completely, it's gone. It's just a pile of ash, and I fly away, and I said, well, how do you feel when you're up there flying away? She said, I feel free. I said, okay. Look at yourself now. Be a cloud for a second and look down. Be higher than the bird. Look down on the bird. What do you see? And she said, I see an eagle. And I said, what does an eagle mean to you? Because, Mary, we cannot tell somebody what somebody's dream is. We can only guide them to what their dream, what their guidance is telling them. I said, so what is an eagle to you? And she said, well, it's a bird. I said, what kind of a bird? It's a big bird. what kind of a big bird? I don't know.
Yeah,
there's
right.
the block. There's the block. And I said, can I have your permission to ask the audience to help? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are there any Native Americans in the audience? Hands went up. And I asked her, you always ask their permission. May I ask them what the big bird means to them? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the women stood up and said, eagle, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Great Spirit. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, my God. She said, oh, my God. Great Spirit was taking me from my past and freeing me to do what I needed to do in the future. My past was holding me back. I've wanted to do this or that for so long, and now I can. And the whole room just, you know, exploded. She goes, oh, my God, I feel so good.
Yes.
All that stuff was just holding me. Now I'm free. And I said, there you go. What a wonderful nightmare. You know, they don't get any better than that. And she said, you're right. I'm free. And so she went outside and gave me a video testimonial. So on that page, you will see video testimonials of people who were in the hot seat.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
so
that's
that was
incredible.
One on life.
And it happens in just a few minutes.
Just a
because
few minutes.
Because these things can accelerate with spirit, yes.
Yes, because her guides, when I call those spirits into the room, when I call your spirit guides, I make sure that I do it in a way that keeps a safe space. They're going to make sure that only the highest and best comes in. They're going to put up a beautiful mirrored shield is what I call it. And it's a mirrored shield because only that which is of the highest and best can be brought in by those spirit guides. And everything else, including those mouths, will just bounce off it and go back to wherever they came from. They won't even be able to see in. They'll only see themselves and not anything else. And so there was a lot of light work going on in there. And she realized where she needed to go in her future. At another event called the IASD, the International Association for the Study of Dreams. I'm a presenter there, and I'm going to be presenting with a Dr. Larry Burke the last week, I think it's the first week in June. Yes, the first week in June in Virginia Beach. That's going to be really hot. Close to the Edgar Casey Institute. Oh, my God, that's going to be so wonderful. And I'm going to be doing mask therapy. I work with masks to help people really break through terribly frightening dreams. Sometimes we need to step back. So it's coming out from behind the mask of your dream, unmasking your dream and finding the power in the mask that chose you. You think you're choosing the mask, but these masks are all blessed. And they're all great masks. There are no evil masks in here. They all deal with fertility, rebirth, growth. And so spirituality, connecting with guides, that's what these masks are. And they'll call to you. And they'll say, pick me. Put me over your face. Feel the power when you're ready. Come out and describe your dream. And we'll work together with a tangible mask in your hand. And so I'm going to be doing that in Virginia Beach. But I did it up in Seattle. I did it up there. And there was a woman who had come from Atlanta to see me. And she got up in the hot seat, which is, at first, it's very unnerving. And I almost have to drag the first person up, Mary. And then after the first person is up, the rest of them, like, stampede the stage. All right, we all want to be up there all at once. And I almost never get
once
to everybody.
Once they know it's safe.
Yes, then they all want to run up there. And the dreams start just flooding in. The doors open, the guides open, and the ones that are supposed to be up there really, really badly get up there. And the others are encouraged to go home and write their dreams down and speak with their guides and figure out what's going on. But this one woman got up into the hot seat, and she said, I came all the way from Atlanta. And her hair was just starting to grow in, a little bit of hair. And I knew that she'd been through treatment, but she had a big L-shaped scar behind her left ear, going from her temple across and down behind her ear. And she said, I had downloaded your Dream Course 101. She said, and I was taking that course. And I suddenly started having this dream where my husband, who had just died of brain cancer 6 months earlier, kept coming into my dream. And he kept taking his boots off of his feet and putting them on my feet. And I was on a beach with him, and he had his arms around me, and he was hugging me and rocking me and saying, it's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And he would touch my head and say, you're in my shoes now. You see, sometimes they can't tell you directly what's wrong, and sometimes they can.
Yeah.
Who knows
yeah.
why? But the point is, the message is there. And so she would mm-hmm. stand up and try to walk, but the shoes would like be difficult to walk in because they were too big. But she was trying mm-hmm. to walk from the beach. And so she said, I went back, I started working the course, and I suddenly realized what he was saying. I was walking in his shoes because I had a brain tumor too. And she said, I kept going to my doctor saying I have a really bad headache. And they said, of course you do. You're stressed. You just took care of your husband for 6 months and he died. You have anxiety headaches. You're having migraines. Mm-hmm. Here, take these pills. You'll be okay. And she said, I know you're going to think that I'm probably crazy, but I need an MRI. I need it. I know something's wrong. No, you're just having it. She said, I'm not leaving till I get it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. You can lock the door. I'll be here tomorrow morning. So they did an MRI, and guess what? She had the brain tumor. She had the tumor. And so she had come right to see me and sit up in the front of the room and explain to this huge room full of people how important dreams are, that our loved ones who pass over can come back during our times of strife that we don't even know we're in to give us guidance so we don't die, so that we can go out and spread the word that we all have spirit guides, we're their job, and they take that job seriously. That we have a higher power and we have a purpose. That science can only go so far. And then comes God.
Absolutely. Can you give any suggestions to people who have a hard time remembering their dreams?
Absolutely, I can. If you are, there's a couple of things. Some of us don't remember our dreams because we're on medications for whatever reason. And maybe you really need those medications. I'm definitely not telling you to stop taking them because I don't want you to, unless you feel you should. And then that's something you take up with your doctor. But you, one of the things that you can do is tap into your daydreams. Your daydreams happen all day long, just like your night dreams. And sometimes when you can't remember your night dreams because of medications, or let's say you have to train yourself not to drop down so deeply because you're so tired, and I understand that, you're working a full job during the day. Then you pick the kids up from school and you drive them around. That's another job after school for their extracurricular activities. And then you come home and you cook. And then you clean up from cooking and you make sure they do their homework. And when they're done with their homework, you get their clothes out for the next day. So you have five jobs. I would drop down as low as possible into my dreams as night as I could also. But through my course, I train you how not to drop down too low, or when you're coming up, you hover there for a while so that your guides can talk to you in REM, rapid eye movement, delta dreams. That's where you get the information. And you can train yourself to do that, just as you can train yourself to remember your daydreams. There are companies now, huge companies, that require their employees to daydream 20% of the day. Can you imagine that, Mary, getting paid to daydream? Because they know that's how you problem solve from another area of your being that is so bright, so smart.
Well, considering that Einstein came up with his magical formula while he was daydreaming under a tree, I can certainly recommend that one.
Absolutely, and we all can. I mean, you know, Edison, look at if Edison hadn't been daydreaming and even night dreaming for solutions, we'd all be sitting in the dark with candles.
Sure.
You know, so
sure.
If you're having trouble remembering your night dreams,
that's lamps,
fine.
Maybe.
it's okay. Remember your daydreams. Write them down. Carry a little pad and paper with you. And write
mm-hmm.
your daydreams down just as you would your night dreams, and look for the symbolism. Look for the play on words. It's going to be actually easier. The other thing that you can do is at night before you go to bed, if you're having trouble remembering your dreams, write down on a piece of paper what you want to do. Write down what you want to manifest, which is remember your dream. Put it under your pillow.
Uh-huh.
And when you sleep during the night, you've put it out to the universe, you put it out to your guides, they're always listening. When you wake up in the morning, make sure that you put a journal beside your bed. That's probably what you needed to do before you even wrote down what you wanted to manifest on the paper. Because if you have to get up and run around the room looking for a dream journal, you're going to forget your dream. So have it
sure.
right there with a paper and pencil. Write your dream down. And then in the morning, write down exactly what you do remember. Don't beat yourself up if you don't remember everything. It's okay. You're going to remember what's important. And you've got to take baby steps. Maybe you can't remember even a snippet of the dream, but you remember that you were happy when you woke up. That's all you need to write down. Happy dream. You've taken the first step. And then the next time, maybe it's happy dream, and the color you remember was red, and you remember the number 8. That right there is a big message. Happy, powerful, infinity. You see that? Just from three little
mm-hmm.
things. So
mm-hmm.
everything that you dream when you're in that realm is so important. Look for play on words. Maybe you keep hearing something repeated in your head. It might be from a dream. And during the day, while you're daydreaming, that can open the door to your night dream. And some of your night dream will filter back into your daydream. I carry a little notebook around in my purse. And when I have a flashback into a night dream, I write it down right away. Before I can forget it, I will be with a group of friends. I'll sit down on a bench and start writing. And I've heard them say to my husband, "What is she doing?" My husband will say, "She's writing. She must have remembered a dream or something for her book." And I remember, you know, a family member looking at him and going, "Can we make her stop?" And my husband said, No, we can't. We can't make her stop." And then I'll just put my notebook back in my purse and rejoin him. It's just a few seconds. And they'll be standing there with their mouth open, but I don't care. And we just go on. And it's usually a segue. And they'll say, "What did you just write down?" And I'll tell them my dreams. And they'll go,
mm-hmm.
"Oh, my gosh." And that usually triggers their doors to open. It's like you become this beautiful wind when you share your dreams that blows everybody else's doors open.
You know, it through this whole thing, I hear you saying that you have cast aside society's restrictions. You've cast aside the stigma almost that they placed upon people who do things like we do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this
mm-hmm.
and you're helping other people to do the same. And when we get access to this whole other dimension, my goodness, how different our life is going to be.
Oh, it's going to be so much easier, Mary. We carry around so much more than we should. We have others on the other side who love us and are our guides. We don't have to sit there and guess, should I do this? Should I do that? Which is right? I have a choice of three. How in the world am I going to make a decision? Quite often we shut down because we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
sleep on it. That's where that comes from. That phrase comes from, sleep on it, because we'll get the answer in our dreams. So the last thing, going back to, you know, the ways to help remember your dreams, is to make sure you give your dream a title. Even if it's with that example I gave you, the name of the dream is a sleeping eight, infinity, or something like that, or red, or something, because sometime during the day when you have your daydream, you may get more of that dream. And don't worry about having to write all this down. If you go to my website, you can download it. Everything that I just said, the five steps to remembering your dreams, or five steps to have the ability to remember your dreams, right there. That's free. That's your free download. And the seven types
Fantastic.
Of dreams.
Do you want to give us that website once again for the people who might have come on a little bit later?
Sure. It's www.accessyourinnerguide.com. And for those of you who are going through health crisis, it's survivingcancerland, all one word, www.survivingcancerland.com. You can also just Google me, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, and my website will pull up.
Fantastic. And we are here at the deadline. We've just run out of time here. And usually I like to end with a little guided imagery, if that's good with you.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. So everybody just tense your body. Tense. You make your whole body a fist, your belly button, your toes, your scalp. And when you feel yourself trembling, collapse like a rag doll, which is the very fastest way to get your body completely relaxed. And begin to focus on your breathing. And imagine you're just floating right underneath your nose. And as the air goes in, you ride in. You float in like you're surfing on the air. Just float deep in. And as you exhale, just let go of everything that would prevent you from being the best and taking the most from this time that we've spent. As you breathe in, float in deeper, floating past the layers of consciousness into that magical, wonderful place deep within us where nothing can harm you. Everything is working for you. The universe is flowing perfectly with you. And soak that up. Feel the power flowing into you that you need and deserve. And that which will inspire you to be more and more of who you really are, and to do and feel and express the best you can be. Just let it fill you up and throw away anything that even smacks of doubt, that even a hint of it. Let it go. One more deep breath and just fill your whole being with it, expanding out. There you go. And now let's stretch. Take a deep breath. Open your eyes. Wiggle your fingers and toes. And here we are back in so-called normal consciousness. And thank you. Thank you so much, Kat, for everything that you've given, for your generosity and your spirit. And we'll just end with our usual salutation, love and light.